Amen. Amen. Thanks. I'm glad you're here. You can be seated. While you're being seated, I encourage you to take your Bible and open it up. That's a novel thing to do. Not just set it on the coffee table and let it collect dust, but actually bring it with you and open it up. We're going to be wrapping up Acts chapter 13 today. If you don't have a Bible, there should be one in front of you there. Acts 13 is on page 922. And what we're going to see as we finish up Acts 13 today is there's some emotions, there's some feelings that are going to get provoked as the gospel gets preached in this text. And just kind of thinking about emotions, thinking about feelings, I find it interesting that different emotions, different feelings sometimes get represented by different colors. I mean, think about that for a minute with me. If you get angry, the color that's kind of associated with being angry is what color? It's red, yeah. When you feel sad or down, you feel what color? You feel blue. Yeah, man, you're tracking here. If you're afraid or you're kind of feeling like that cowardly lion, you're said to be yellow. And man, the color that is associated when you feel jealous, you're said to be green with envy or green with jealousy. And that's one of the colors that we're going to see this morning in our story. As we conclude Acts chapter 13, we're going to see some people at the end of this story that just are flat out green with envy, green with jealousy. Why? Because the masses are showing up around the synagogue, around the church, so to speak, because Paul said, hey, it's salvation that leads to life, this bridge that leads to life, this Messiah. It's not just for Jewish people, it's for everybody. And man, the people heard that throughout the week and came back the next Sunday to hear what was going on, came back on the next Sabbath day, and they're like, really? Yeah, really. Really. I mean, it makes me think of that children's song. How's it go? Red and yellow, black and white, they are in His sight. Some people say, oh, that's a politically incorrect song. You can't sing that song. That's not meant to be a political song. That's a children's song that is intended to help kids understand that God loves all people in all places, no matter where they come from or what they look like. That's what that song's about. And that's what we're going to see in our story today, is that Jesus really is for everybody, no matter what color you are, no matter where you're from, no matter what kind of past happens to be in your past. Jesus is for you. He's for me. He's for everybody. And man, when that news got shared in Antioch, Pisidia, where Paul preached his first sermon, I'm telling you, the people in that city began to explode with joy, began to explode with colors of excitement. It was a rainbow of different colors just going, yes, this is the kind of news that is good. This is the kind of news that I need to hear. And so if you've slept since we last met and you haven't been hanging out in Acts 13 all week, let me just give you a quick review. Paul and Barnabas are on their first missionary journey. They've traveled to this town known as Antioch of Pisidia. I think there's a map there. You can kind of see it in the upper left-hand corner. You see it's located around the Mediterranean Sea. And so that's a very mountainous region that Paul and Barnabas have traveled to. They're telling the people of this city, both the Jews and those who were not Jewish, but who feared God, that they were being told by Paul that, man, Jesus is the Messiah. He's the Savior. He's the bridge that leads to life, that leads to truth. All the signs from your past point to Jesus is the Messiah. This is the message that was shared earlier, the week earlier, when Paul and Barnabas were asked to preach in the synagogue. And then over the course of the following week, the word just begins to trickle out. It begins to move throughout the city that, wow, this man says that the Messiah isn't just for the Jews, that he's for everybody. I mean, red, yellow, black, and white, they're precious in his sight. And so let's see what happens in response to this very inclusive message that Paul gave, that Jesus, the Messiah, he is for everyone. We left off last week in verse 43. Paul had just finished preaching the sermon here. It was the first recorded sermon that we have from Paul in the book of Acts. But let's do this. Let's back up to verse 42 and just kind of recapture a bit of the scene that happens just as church was being let out on that day. So Acts 13, verse 42 says, as they went out, the people begged that these things might be told them the next Sabbath. I've never had anybody do that. Would you just keep preaching? Just keep preaching. Keep preaching. I trust that's what you're saying, so sometimes I do. Man, they were going, Paul, Barnabas, would you keep preaching? Verse 43, and after the meeting of the synagogue broke up, many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas, who, as they spoke with them, urged them to continue in the grace of God. Verse 44, the next Sabbath, so a week's gone by since he preached this sermon. The next Sabbath, almost how much of the city? The whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were filled with what? With jealousy, and began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out. How did they speak out? Be bold in your faith, men and women. That doesn't mean be a jerk. It just means be bold. Be bold. Stand on the solid teaching of God's word and be bold. Be bold. And Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, talking to the Jews, the Jew first. But since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, we're turning to the Gentiles. For the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. But the Jews incited the devout women of high standing and the leading men of the city, and they stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and they drove them out of their district. But they shook the dust from their feet against them, and they went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Man, so much happening in this story in Scripture. And we could talk about a whole lot of different things, but there's one thing that really comes back to me as I studied this Scripture and as I sat with it and I prayed with it. The thing that kept coming back to me over and over and over again was how there's just no room for jealousy when God is on the move. There's just no room for that. I mean, did you see that emotion beginning to be cropped up in this passage? Look back in verses 44 and 45 with me. It says, the next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were, would you say that phrase with me, filled with jealousy. And they began to contradict what was spoken by Paul, reviling him. See, the Jewish people were jealous because the message that Paul preached the previous week so became the talk of the town. It went more viral than Dale Hansen's little opinion about the football player that came out. I mean, it went crazy viral throughout that city. And the people who lived in that city, and there was a lot of different tribes and a lot of different colors, a lot of different cultures that lived in Antioch of Pisidia. And they showed up the next week to hear more. See, what happened is that Paul rang a bell in his sermon about the gospel message being for everybody. The gospel message, Jesus, the Savior, the bridge that leads to life and truth. and about how he was for everybody. And see, what had been echoing out throughout the ears of all the people in the city over the last week was what Paul said in verses 38 and 39. Jump back up a few verses to verses 38 and 39, because this is the bell that Paul rang that just began to reverberate throughout all the people, not just the Jews, but everybody in the city. And Paul said in verse 38, "Let it be known to you, therefore, brothers, that through this man, through Jesus, forgiveness of sins is proclaimed to you. And by him, by Jesus," how many? "Everyone who believes is freed from everything from which you could not be freed by the law of Moses." I'm telling you, that was a gong of good news that just kind of rang throughout the city that week. Reverberated throughout the whole city. And once you ring a bell, you can't unring it. You can't unring a bell. Once it gets hit, it just begins to reverberate. And what Paul said in his sermon was that it's not about being born into Judaism and being raised up to be a good Jew. What Paul is saying is, it's about being born anew by Jesus and into Jesus and being raised to walk up in a brand new life that's found in Jesus. And that's for everyone who believes. And I'm telling you, that was just a gong that just rang out throughout the rest of the week. And all the people who lived in Antioch of Pisidia showed up to hear that message for themselves the next week. And all the crowds who showed up to hear Paul preach made the Jewish people who usually do their thing in the synagogue, it made them green with envy, green with jealousy. That's what it said in verse 45. Look again with me so you know I'm not making this stuff up. "But when the Jews saw the crowds, they were" what? "Filled with jealousy." They were filled with jealousy. I think there's a couple of reasons why they were filled with jealousy. Probably at least two reasons. One, they were mad because there were so many people who couldn't wait to hear this new preacher named Paul, and forever and a day, they couldn't fill up the church. And they're like, "What's up with that? They ought to be coming to our church instead of going to hear this guy." And so there was some jealousy there. That's one reason, because they couldn't fill up their own place. But a second reason is this. I believe those Jewish people were just prejudiced. They were just prejudiced against anybody who wasn't like them. Anybody who wasn't Jewish. They were prejudiced against everybody else. They're known as the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people. And I think that they just resented that they've been trying to keep all the rules so hard, and here comes this preacher named Paul who says, "No, salvation is for everyone. Red and yellow, black and white, they're all precious in his sight." And that just hacked them off. They're like, "I don't like that. I've been working too hard to make it that easy for everybody else." And Paul would say, "Well, then you have been on an adventure and missing the point, my friend." And they just got green with envy. You see, the only children's song, so to speak, that they really knew, that the Jewish people really knew up to that point, was this song. Sing it with me if you've ever heard it. "God is so good." You ever heard that song? Sing it with me. "God is so good. God is so good. He's so good." Here comes the pronoun. "To," say it with me, "me. And everybody who's like me." The Jewish people, just like me. Or maybe the people who aren't Jewish, but they're trying to be like me. Living like me, thinking like me, morally like me. Those are the ones that God really loves. And Paul comes singing a different tune. Paul said, "Yeah, I love that song. God is so good, and he is so good to me. But also, let me teach you a new song. Jesus loves the little children. Sing that one with me if you know it. All the children of the world. Which ones? Red and yellow, black and white. They are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. God so loved the what? The world, that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever, read that, red, yellow, black, and white, may believe, not perish, but have everlasting life. Man, that's a song about a Savior who loves all the colors of all the people of the world, who, by the way, he created. And that just made the Jewish people one color. Take a guess. Green. Kind of made them not only jealous, but kind of sick at their stomach. And while the Jews are becoming green with envy and jealousy, that the crowds are showing up to hear this guy named Paul preach, and what Paul was about to say, I'm telling you, it's just about to cause a tie-dyed celebration of color. I mean, it's one of those crayons that you got back in elementary school where there's like 64 with a sharpener in the back. Oh, that's the kind of celebration that's about to take place among a people who came to hear a good news message that this Messiah was for me and you. And we don't look the same. And he's going, yeah, that's who the bridge that leads to life and truth is meant for. It's meant for you. And it's meant for me. Just look what Paul and Barnabas said again in verses 46 and 47. It says, and Paul and Barnabas spoke out boldly, saying, it was necessary that the word of God be spoken first to you, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, because we are turning to the Gentiles. Verse 47, for so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. Right there, Paul is quoting Isaiah 49, verse 6. It's known as the Great Commission of the Old Testament. What Paul just quoted there is also what Simeon quoted when he held the Lord Jesus as a baby. In Luke 2, about verse 32, he said, you're the light for the Gentiles. And Paul's bringing it back and saying, this is what our God says. See, in Acts 13, 47, when Paul helped all the Gentiles in the audience, all the red and yellow, black and white people, the people of the city who came to hear this good news that Jesus loves all the colors of all the peoples, all the children of the world. What happened next was an explosion of color into the air, a celebration, a joyful noise of excitement. Look, it's there in verse 48. You'll see I'm not making this up. This is really here. And when the Gentiles heard this, they began what? Rejoicing and glorifying the word of the Lord. And as many as were appointed to eternal life believed, and the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. Somebody needs to say amen about that, because that's awesome. Big time awesome. You're not really sure. Do I say amen there? Was that a rhetorical question? Man, I'm just telling you, it makes Jesus smile when he sees the good news about him being spread all over the city to all the people, all the children of the world. That makes him glad. It chaps Jesus royally when he sees jealousy cropping up among people. Kids, draw me this picture this morning. Here's the picture I want you to draw. What do you think it looked like when Paul was preaching that good news? Because there's a big crowd there, and some in the crowd are going, yay! And others in the crowd are going, boo! It should just be for me. But others in the crowd are going, no, it's for me too. What do you think it looked like? Draw me a picture of Paul preaching that message, and happy and excited people and other people who weren't happy or excited. And put your picture on my board when we're done today. I want to see what you think that day looked like. Man, I don't know about you. I do know about me. I love it when I hear how God is blessing. Not just here at Arapahoe Road, but blessing all over the city through churches and through ministries. I love hearing about the great things that God's doing to bless people in our community, to make a difference in our community. Man, that just causes me to want to know, how can I help? How can I get in on that? How can I join God in what He's doing? And we've been joining God in opportunities that He's been placing and laying right in our lap. You go, like what? One of our strategic mission partnerships is with Hickman Elementary School, just around the corner, a Title I school in our own backyard. Do you know that there are people in this church who love the teachers, love the families, love the children that go over there? And on Valentine's, they went and gave Valentine goodies to all the teachers over there just to say, we love you, we appreciate you, we bless you. I got 4 different emails on Friday afternoon from teachers sent directly to me. Here's just one of them. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church just wanted you to know that the Hickman staff is a great deal sweeter because of you. Thank you for the yummy chocolate kisses once again. Once again. Don't miss that. Once again, you are so thoughtful. It just caused me to think about that question. If Arapahoe Road ceased to exist in our own community, would anybody know and would anybody care besides the members of this church? And I'm just going, once again, they would. They'd care. They'd notice. I think about the ILT Charter School that we've been hosting here. I had the privilege with some of our staff to go to their groundbreaking ceremony. There were a couple hundred people, dignitaries from the city, representatives were there. And the first thing that Eddie Conger, the superintendent of the charter school, said was, before we say thank you to anybody else, we need to thank our friends at Arapahoe Road. And he's pointing at the church, the side that says arapahoeroad.org on it. He said, we need to thank our friends at Arapahoe Road. They've helped us get this far. Friends, and he looks over at me because I'm kind of representing the church. And I shook his hand and said, man, I'm so happy for you. He said, you need to know Arapahoe Road is always welcome in our school. If we'd have shut the door on them when they said, can you help? Do you think they'd have been saying that? Correct answer is no. No, they would not. And that excites me that God's going, they're going to be your neighbors a long time, and you just loved your neighbor as yourself. It wasn't about mine. It was about share, and I'm going to bless you because of that. And man, there's churches that when they're going through difficulties or they're having a trial that they're going through, that doesn't make me glad that the spotlight's not on us, but it's on them. That makes me hurt for them. That makes me just ask, how can we help you? Is there something that we can do? Is there something we can pray about for you? That's what happened when our friends from the Vietnamese church come walking into our office one day and said, well, we're in a bit of a pickle. We don't have a place to worship. There's some difficult things going on. Would you help us? And I'm just going, Psalm 512, the Lord just laid a blessing right into our lap. How can we respond? And they just said, do you have any space that we could meet in and maybe begin to partner to reach our community? Sure. This is God's church, not my church. Come on. Or to quote that great theologian from Dumb and Dumber, pick them up. Come on board. And I got to do something I've never gotten to do before. I got to co-baptize with Pastor Chu Yin multiple people who came out of the Buddhist faith. And God's been working in them and working in their life. Their plan has been to have a space to call their own. They found that space. They're renovating that space. And we've just said, how can we help in that? We want to keep partnering. We want to keep reaching people with you. And do you know that as that happened, another opportunity has fallen into our lap? Let me just throw it out there. We don't have all the answers, but here's something you can pray about. Will you pray about something with me? Say yes. Okay. Just like the Vietnamese friends said, man, can you help? We said, sure, we'll help. There is a Hispanic congregation that's been meeting in a home called a house church. So many people have been coming to this house church from Hispanic origins, they've outgrown it. There's a pastor from Cleburne that's driving up each week to have and give leadership to this church in the Plano Garland area. They sent out and talked, and their pastor called all these different churches and said, there's one church that called us back. It was your church. I thought that we just called them back because our name starts with A. And they said, no, we've called a bunch. He said, we're looking for a place to maybe reach more people. Is that something you'd be open about? You know what I said? Yes. What's it going to look like? I don't know. But God's doing something. I want to be a part of what God's doing, don't you? Man, I don't want to just sit and soak over here on the sideline and sour. I want to be wrung out for His glory, don't you? Man, I want to make a difference. It's not about competition with other churches. It's about a collaboration with other churches because we are the church, capital C. It's a kingdom of God thing. It's the kids of the King getting to work with other kids of the King to do something great for the kingdom. And I'm telling you, the last thing God wants to see among His kids is a bunch of green, jealous people. He doesn't want to see that. I celebrate when I hear what's happening with our friends at Prestonwood or the Village or the Heights or the First United Methodist Church or Wood Creek or Watermark or the Lutheran Church or the Episcopalian Church or Highland Park Prez. I love that. I celebrate that. How can we make much of Jesus in our city with you? Is there something we can do? Can we do something great for God, and can we do it together? The last thing God wants us to be is jealous of a good thing going on in another part of the city. You know, there's so much work to be done in our city. I was at a one-day event called the Greater Dallas Movement Day. Some of our staff, some of you were there with us and just saw a snapshot of the Dallas County, the county that Arapahoe Road is in. Let me just show you. This is who is around us. This is who is in our county, in our city. When it comes to education, did you know that 450,000 school-age children in Dallas County across 600-plus schools in 15 districts are all over this place? That's a lot, isn't it? Did you know that just 42% of third graders in Dallas County are reading at or above grade level? That's not good. My wife's a third grade teacher. She'd go, that ain't good. 21% of Dallas County is illiterate. When it comes to hunger, the number of North Texans seeking help from food pantries or soup kitchens each week has risen 80% since 2006 to 64,600 people per week, and nearly half of those are children. 20% of Dallas children live with what's known as food insecurity. They don't have enough to eat. So they go to McDonald's, and they have childhood obesity issues because they don't get fresh food. When it comes to financial stability in our county, 29.3% of children in Dallas County, more than 190,000 children total, live in families below the federal income poverty level. That's not good. That's not acceptable in our city. When it comes to immigration and the opportunities that are there, 44% of the residents in DFW are first or second generation immigrants, and that number's growing. There's more than 239 languages that we're aware of that are spoken in Dallas County. We've got nearly 20,000 international students and the largest international refugee population in America, right here in our city. That's why we're inviting anybody who wants to go, how can I get involved? What does God want me to do? How can I help? We got a lunch at 12:15 right back here to learn how you can maybe take a next step. You're not committing to anything. You're just saying, can I help one of those 20,000 international students? By the way, as Brian mentioned, don't go there first. Go pick your kids up first, because we got people over in the children's building that are writing your name down and are coming to your house. Don't get in your little life group conversations and go, oh, it's 12:30, we better go get... No, don't do that. When it comes to human trafficking, man, this just pierces my heart. There's 6,000 runaways annually in Dallas County. One out of three is lured into sex trafficking within 48 hours of leaving home. The average age of entry into sex trafficking is between 12 and 13 years old. That should break your heart. We can't just not do anything but go, I'll pray for you. We got to do something about that. Why am I sharing this with you about the snapshot of Dallas County? Because when we begin taking a fresh look at the city and the needs and the places that desperately need the light of Christ to shine, we're not going to have time to be jealous. We got work to do, church. We got something to do as well as somebody to be. We're not going to have time to be jealous like the people of Acts 13. Life's too short to waste it comparing what somebody else is doing or not doing. How can we join God? We're all in this together, red, yellow, black, and white, Baptist, Episcopalian, Methodist, Catholic. Hey, whoever you are, if you want to join us, come on. You don't even have to believe like me to have schools that are putting a good education out there. I want Muslim children to have food to eat at night too, you know. You know why? Because our Father in heaven created them. How can we work side by side on common ground issues and make this kingdom come and His will be done right here on earth as it is in heaven? Because when you get in there working side by side with somebody who may think differently than you, then you may build a bridge and ask them, or they ask you, why are you doing what you're doing? Let me tell you about the bridge that leads to life and truth. And they may never step foot in this church, but they may step foot on a council to make something better in this community. And God's going, will you leverage your assets, your skills, and your ability, and your time, and your effort, and your know-how, and your resources to bring the kingdom into this place? We don't have time to be green with envy. We have time to get our hands dirty, to work side by side to make this the kingdom of God right here on earth as it is in heaven. That's how Jesus taught us to pray. And you know what? Some people didn't like that. They didn't like it when Paul was saying it. There's some people in here today that are probably going, I don't like that. So what do we do if you don't like it? What did Paul and Barnabas do when it happened to them? Let me close with this in verse 51 and 52. They shook the dust from their feet against them, and they went to Iconium, and the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Did you see that? They shook the dust off their feet. They just shook the dust off their feet and moved on. That was a recognized, symbolic way to say, you and I are going to agree to disagree. It was a little bit more intense here because they were fixing to start throwing stones at them. Somebody's getting ready to throw stones at you. Shake the dust off your feet. There's more places to work. How can we work? Life's too short to waste your time arguing. Shake the dust off your feet and move on. Some of you are sitting here today and there's been so much dust that's been caked on you. You've just been sitting by paralyzed. And today I think one of the words from the Lord for you is this. Would you shake the dust off of your feet? Off of your back, off of your heart. I know something happened in the past. Don't let the dust keep caking you up. By the power of God, He wants you to shake that free and to begin moving forward in who He wants you to be. It doesn't matter if you're red, yellow, black, or white, or you've been living green with envy. He's saying, I'll give you a fresh start. I'll give you a fresh start because the gospel's for you. And if others of you are going, what do I do next? Go to luncheon at 12:15. There's one option for you. If you're going, I'm not into international students. Come have coffee with me and we'll talk. Would you stand with me? I want to give you a blessing. Sorry I wasn't fired up today. Dan, would you sing over us? Why don't you hold your hands out? I want to give you a blessing. You're the people of God. You're the ones that God loves, but not the only ones God loves. Share. He's going to cross your path with people who need to know Him. Give. Form relationships. Leverage your assets. And make this place the city that God wants to do something great in. I love you. And it's a privilege to walk with you and lead you. Bring somebody along for this crazy ride. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Dan's going to sing a line of a blessing that we've been learning. Line of benediction. If you're a visitor today, I'd love to meet you for coffee when we're dismissed in a moment.